All right, so we've been talking about relationships for the past month, and we've discussed several different kinds of tools to use as far as like strengthening the nature of our relationships, the way that we interact with one another. And I'm not just talking about romantic relationships, right? I'm just talking about between you and your partner, significant other, or whatever. I'm talking about the way that we interact with our friends, the way we interact with our parents, if we are parents, the way we interact with our children, the way we interact with our coworkers, our neighbors, any relationship you have. The key guideline is what we're talking about today, and that is love. We're talking about love. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Baby, don't hurt me anymore. I know you want to say it. I made that joke once before, and that's why I looked at Adam, because he sang it for me last time. What is love? How are we going to define it? And because when I looked up this word love that's used in this piece of this passage, it just defined it as love. I was like, okay, this is not helpful. But what Paul does here, the person who wrote this letter to these people living in Corinth 2,000 years ago, is he expounds upon what love is. And he uses all of these different terms. He talks about what it is and what it isn't. But before he ever even gets there, he says, hey, without love, you're just banging pots and pans, right? You're just a noisy cymbal. And listen, I have a kiddo who lives in my house who loves banging stuff around right now. It doesn't mean anything, you know, or I guess it could, but it's not helpful, right? For communicating. Right? It's just noise. It's just noise, right? Even if we do things that are sacrificial and seem to be for the good of somebody else, if it's done without love, it's not really gaining us anything, right? So evidently love is very important. So let's talk about how love is the best tool. Outside, across the way over here in the dirt, there is a big black pole with a bulb of concrete at the bottom of it. Have you guys seen that laying down over there? No? It used to be a basketball goal. It was upright before we did construction over here. And then we pulled it up because we needed room. And I've been in the process of trying to figure out how to get that thing back in the ground, right? Because I don't want to buy a new one. I want to use what we already have. And let me tell you something I've learned is that getting rid of the concrete bulb requires the right tools. And I've gone through a lot of different iterations of what may have been the right tool, right? I've tried a pickaxe, didn't really work. Tried a giant sledgehammer, sort of worked for a little bit. And then I bought I was really brave, and I bought a concrete, like, masonry blade for my angle grinder. It's 4 inches in diameter. And I spent like 4 hours just like nicking away at that thing. For 4 hours. And the farm people had been working out there, and like, so Marquette's working on the basketball goal. It's really affecting the ambiance around here. I had on my safety goggles and my safety glasses and my apron and my gloves, and just, anyway, it didn't work. It didn't work well. So the point that I'm trying to make here is that we need basketball. What'd you say? Yeah, buy a new pole. So sometimes it's just the method, like just go with a different plan, right? Just a different plan. Or sometimes it's finding the right tool. So in relationships, the right tool is love, right? But Paul is going to give us some examples of right and wrong tools. So it's really easy on the internet to find people misusing tools or using methods that aren't using their whole brain, you know, like they didn't check in with another person about, hey, do you think this is a good idea? They just did it, you know? So like, for example, this works, but you're asking for it. I mean, this could be first, last date. Now, let me tell you, I found 56 pictures easily, 56 of people coming up with jimmy rigged ways on how to do XYZ things, right? And you know, because you've done it in some form or fashion. One time I got locked out of the house, and Joy was in Oklahoma, and I didn't have another set of keys, but I happened to be locked in the garage part of the house. So I found a 5-pound hand sledge, and I just broke the doorknob off. Not this house, different house. Yeah. So you've done it, right? You've used the wrong tool for a job, and maybe it gets it done, but not quite the way you want it to, right? Okay, can you guys tell what's happening here? He's working with electricity, but where are his feet? Now, here's what's amazing to me. Someone took this picture, right? There was someone present who could have said, I don't know, maybe we should rethink the water and the electricity bit, right? All right, this man is lighting his cigarette with a blowtorch. It's convenient, probably not smart. I don't know if he still has his eyebrows. Or his face, for that matter. Yeah. Okay, so I want you to turn to the side of the page that says the best tools and methods for thriving relationships. And we're going to go down through these, like, best tool, not a good tool. Right? So this first one here that Paul comes to, love is patient. Patient, meaning long-spirited, not losing heart. What's the opposite of patience? Impatience. That's what goes in that blank right there. Impatience. Let's expound upon what impatience is. I'm just going to give you another example of somebody not using the right tool. This man is welding with a piece of newspaper to protect his eyes. And some glasses. I'm not sure he can really see what's going on there. This is not the right tool. They make masks. They make welding masks for this, right? So let's talk about impatience. Let's talk about what we're comparing against here. Help me define impatience. I'm asking you. Help me define impatience. Short-tempered. Quick to get angry. What else? Not willing to wait. Anxious. Did somebody say anxious? Anxious, restless, edgy. Come on, let's go. You ever been in a grocery store line where the person in front of you they need to go where they need to go, and whatever items you're buying, you shouldn't have bothered to buy them. You don't need them as much as they need their whatever is on their conveyor belt, right? And they're like, they'll make sounds. And how can you tell if somebody's impatient? Sometimes their body language will tell you. If they're in a car, their proximity will get closer. Like that, Ambrose? Rosemary? Attitude, yes. There's a little bit of, maybe there's something in their voice that's expressing. A hand gesture. It could be a gesture. Which one, Sharon? What kind of gesture are you thinking about there? You got to get a... Oh, like that? Oh, okay, that's not what I was thinking, but sure, yeah. Oh, come on. All right, so patience versus impatience in our relationships. I think sometimes what might cause us to feel impatient with someone is if this behavior that's being exhibited is a pattern for them, right? So, like, maybe we have less patience with someone the third or the fourth or the fifth time that they do something that we don't like. We're going to come down to something that affects that later. But think about your own life. Reflect for a second. In what scenarios, I'm not asking you to share, in what scenarios are you most impatient? Who do you tend to be the most impatient with? What would patience look like with that person? Sometimes patience is just connected to slowing down. Just slow down. Because love is patient. Love acts that way. Love acts patiently. If you ever hear yourself saying something like, well, I'm just an impatient person. Ugh. That's what we're talking about today. Well, I'm just hot-headed. I've always been that way. It's never too late. It's never too late to become or to take a step toward a different way. A more loving way. Can you tell what this is? He has not seen the movie Fargo. You guys see what that is? That's a wood chipper. Okay, so wood chippers have a blade that can chop through giant logs. And this man Someone took this picture. Again, someone paused to take this picture. And hopefully he still has that other leg. But he's dislodging something with his leg. This is not the right tool, right? This is not the right tool. This is not the right method for fixing the problem. So let's talk about kindness. This is the next one down, kind. That is the correct tool, kindness. That is the correct method. Let's expound upon what kindness is. What is kindness? It's kind of tough, huh? Okay, so maybe it's empathy, which is what, Sharon? Thinking about how the other person feels. This last week, we had a play date with another little baby. And we finally realized he was crying when he heard this baby being loud because he thought she was crying. And we realized, like, oh, he's not upset. He's empathizing with her. He is feeling it with her. He is reflecting back what he thinks she's experiencing. Okay, what else is kindness? Compassion, which means if you're compassionate towards someone, you ever just walk past somebody into the store who's like, hey, ma'am, can you wait a second? Can I talk to you? You know, compassion is attention. It's turning aside to that person and being attentive to them. It doesn't necessarily mean that you fix their world or make it go round. But you attend to them. That is a kindness. I am tending to you. And the inverse of that would be unkindness. Unkindness, uncaring, inattentive is the word. Inattentive. In your relationships, to be kind to someone, if you recognize that there is something that they are in need of and you ignore it, that's unkind, right? If you realize that they are in need of some patience, some listening, some generosity of spirit, kindness is to give that attention to the person. That's the right tool. Why is it that you think sometimes unkindness comes more naturally to us? We're self-centered. Don't have the time. Impatient. They're all kind of in the same pot of stew mixed all together. Quick-tempered. All right, let's move on. Oh my gosh, it's another wood chipper. This is worse. This is so much worse. Okay, I don't know if you noticed, but there is another person present. That means there are three people who are aware of what was going on. And this looks like it's happening on a busy road. Anybody could have said, hey, whoa, whoa, that doesn't look like the right method. That doesn't look smart. This next one that we have here, envy, jealousy. Let's define it. What are envy and jealousy? Okay, different but the same. I want what you got. I want what you have. Ooh. I don't even want you to have what you have because I want it so bad. You don't deserve it. I deserve it. Danielle, were you going to say something? To not be happy for the other person. That's it. Not celebrating the successes of others. I was an only child. And I think my parents were worried that I am an only child, still am an only child. My parents, yeah, my God, that would be the scariest new announcement ever. Oh, anyway, it's not going to happen. I remember my mom teaching me at a very young age, like, you need to know how to celebrate your friends and be excited for them. Never begrudge your friends when something goes well. And so, like, I was a really good teammate because of that, you know, like when somebody else scored, I was really excited for them, you know, or whatever it is. And like, as we get older into adulthood and we start to see these diverging paths of what we have and what we don't have and what our peers have and, you know, all of that, like, it can be hard. And again, it's kind of this like, well, what about me? You know, why not me? Self-centeredness again. Yes. Yeah, so like the word in the Greek means to burn, to boil with, to covet earnestly. The inverse of that is to be content with what you have and not just kind of resigned. Contentedness doesn't mean resigned with what you have. It means legitimately content. Yes. Thankful. Grateful. The other day, Miss Rosemary, I'm going to tell on you for a second, but Miss Rosemary's motor blew up in her car. And it's getting fixed, but I was taking her from point A to point B, and she just kept saying, "I'm just so grateful to God." And I was like, "You are out of your mind. Your motor blew up." But that is not the first time you've done that. When there's been hard news, you know, you're like, "God, but look at all the things that God is doing as well." This kind of gratitude for what you do have. And sometimes it's, "God, thank you for this breath," right? It's like, it's that short-sighted. Like, this is all I can concentrate on right now. Right, right. Versus abundance. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Scarcity versus abundance. It's good. So the right tool is being able to celebrate the successes of others and like getting in the habit of this and expressing gratitude, right? Gratitude and celebration. That's what love looks like. Gratitude and celebration. All right, let's see what we got next here. Oh my. Can you see what's happening? He has a circular saw. He's cutting a 2x4. And his thigh is right there. What would have been the right tool? Sawhorse, table saw in general, chop saw. Just another piece of wood. Just any other. Oh, man, this is so bad. This is so bad. But I have seen this variations on this more times than I can count. You know, especially with people who are in the habit of cutting 2x4s. They're like, I got it. And they get in the habit of just this bad practice. This is just the way I do it. You know? Huh? What did you say back there, Ambrose? Yeah. There, Jeff Foxworthy, he tells a joke about, you know, when I was a kid, they just let us pull the TV down on top of ourselves. Don't worry, he'll learn. Right? That's it. Yeah. So that's part of it. Like sometimes we use the wrong tool and finally we do it badly enough that we're like, "Oh, I shouldn't do it that way anymore." Yeah. So here, this next one that we have is boasting, bragging, strut is the way that the message puts it. So on the back side of your paper, I have like three different versions of the scripture. The first one's the New International Version. The second one's the New American Standard Version. And the last one is the Message. And the reason I did that is just to demonstrate to you that sometimes just reading the scripture from different like translations can really help you sort of grasp meaning. Amen. There you go. So it's not just one version. You can read from these different ones. And they will kind of help you, you know, you don't have to know how to read Greek in order to like get a broader understanding. So just, I was taught this when I was in school, like just read three different versions of it, any three different versions. And these are three good different versions to read because they are different enough in the way that they go about translating that it will be helpful to you. So, boast, brag, strut. Help me understand that a little bit more. Yeah. Yeah. What's that? Look at me. Look at what I have. Look what I've done. So this is the person that we are happy to envy, maybe, or not. Because they're pointing out what they have. Self-centeredness. I don't know. Like, maybe it's all about me again. Joey, the day just would not have been the same without you here today. He's a plant, y'all. Maggie. Look at me, I'm not narcissistic. Okay, so just so you know, I coach Maggie's softball team, and we have a kid on our team, I won't say her name, but yesterday, these two, was it yesterday or was it at practice on Thursday? Oh, it was yesterday, it was game day. We tied, by the way. That's right, 10-10. This was a great, yeah. If you ever want to see something fun, come watch us play softball. We're the manta shrimp. They punch, you know. We're going to give everybody names. That shrimp and potatoes, that shrimp gumbo. Okay, so one of our other players, they were talking about, what were you talking about, arrogance or narcissism? Narcissism. Yeah. And so they were like, we're going to make a shirt that said, "Hey, look at me. I'm not narcissistic." Yeah. So this boast brag, it's the "Hey, look at me." Hey, look at me. If you've ever seen there are different kinds of athletes, right, who play on a team. The kind who know how to be a part of it, and the kind who think they are it. Yeah. When you meet someone who's boasting, bragging, it's all about them. They're it. They don't know how to give credit where credit is due. So, what is the opposite of boasting, bragging, strutting?
Humility.
Humility. An appropriate opinion of yourself. Yeah. Building others up. Joey. Sharing the credit. Yeah, it doesn't have to be, "Oh, I didn't do anything." It's, "No, we have done this." And like in our lives, anything you have is a gift. Anything that you possess, whether it's brains, beauty, height, I don't know, name it, a car, a house, whatever you have, that is a gift entrusted to you by God. The loving way to behave is to be generous with that, with the things that have been entrusted to you, not to flaunt them, right? All right, what we got here? Moving on. Oh, can you see? He's got two plastic Solo cups duct taped to his face because he does not have safety glasses. I have to tell you, that's not going to cut it. Like that is not an actual safety glass situation. This is not the right tool. And it looks a little complicated, you know? Yeah, or wear nothing at all. I mean, this guy's not wearing any. And look, he's got glasses hanging on the front of his shirt. I mean, that would have been real easy. Just put those on. That's better than nothing. This guy, he's like, "I'm going to fix it. I've got a plan." I found he has no eyebrows after that. Yeah. So I saw so many different iterations of this. People with buckets over their heads, people with like those big water cooler things cut off and on their head, people with just plastic bat. I mean, it was just, you know, safety glasses are not that expensive. If ever you're doing a project and you don't have some, you can call me. I will get you some. Don't do this. All right, so wrong tools versus right tools. Proud, arrogant, defiant. What is that? What is that? Pride and arrogance.
Never.
I'm never at fault? Oh no. That's a hard one for me. Self-centeredness? Yeah. Okay, never at fault. What else is pride? What else is arrogance? Superiority. That's what it is. I'm up here and you're down here. I had a conversation with Damon. It's been a long time ago, but it stuck with me. Probably just because Damon has a way of saying things that sticks with you. But one of the things that he said is, we're all the same.
Yeah.
We're all the same. This kind of humility of, I am no better than, fill in the blank with anybody. Anyone. Yeah. Right? I'm no better. So we are human. We are all human. There's a kind of humility of understanding about yourself. Humble, modest, unpretentious. That's the method. Humility. Anybody want to add anything to that? Proud, arrogant? Huh? Yeah. So hubris is we can look it up. Yeah, it's pride. It's excessive. Yeah. think of yourself less. Yeah, is humility. Yeah. So when you think of proud, arrogant, it's like to inflate, to puff up, to fill the space. All right. That's a chainsaw at the end of a 4x4 log, and he's taping the throttle open, meaning it's just going to continue to run. Not a good tool. Not a good idea. Okay, this next one, rude, dishonoring. What is it to be rude? Dismissive? Not empathetic? Impatient? To behave unbecomingly? Demanding? Disrespectful? High and mighty? What's the opposite of rude and dishonoring? How about, yeah, encouraging, lifting up somebody else, being restrained, graceful, merciful, patient. Part of this, to honor the other person, even if they're behaving in a dishonorable way. And to do that without the intention of shaming them, right? But because you know, if someone's acting like this, if someone's behaving in a rude or dishonoring way, there is absolutely something else going on. Without a doubt, there is an underlying something that is causing them to behave like that. And if you treat them in a dishonoring or a rude way, that just reiterates, like, well, then I'm going to keep using that tool then. Doesn't matter anyway. Okay, let's keep moving. Okay, this is kind of hard to see, but this man is on a ladder using a chainsaw. But can you see where the top of the ladder is perched? It's on the part of the tree that he is about to cut off. And there's a power line there. It's just like not a good method. Not a good method. Okay, this next one here, self-seeking, me first. Yeah, Joey! He's in the bathroom. It's not appropriate to try to harass him from there. Self-centered, me first. It's a whole phrase, seeking its own. What's the opposite of that? Generous. Yeah, wanting the best for somebody else. Sacrificial. You ever hold the door open for one person, you first, and then you end up holding a parade for people? Well, you're welcome, Your Majesty, you know, as they walk through. That's a joke stolen. I just want to admit that. Yeah, you know. Yeah, be humble. It's not my joke. Somebody else's joke. But even in that scenario, right, like, if we mean it, well, we're happy to hold the door for however many people. You first. Go ahead, you first. That goes a long way in our relationships with people, to think of the other person first. Joey. Maggie. He says, don't bother me. Sorry, Maggie. All right, we're moving on. Okay. This is a man in a backhoe. So now we don't have just one person involved or two persons involved. If you count the person taking the photo, we have three people involved here. There's a man in the backhoe on top of the debris, and there's a man in the bucket up there doing something. This is not the right tool. This is not the right method, huh? Yeah, more than likely, if we could see his hands, maybe he's just like, come on, bricks, come off there. He's got a chainsaw. He's got something up there. It's not good. Okay, so Joey, you missed it, but we had self-seeking me first here, right as you left the room. I know. It's okay. You had said it enough. All right, so what we have here, easily angered, provoked, easily provoked. If you've ever tried to stop smoking, there's a person who's easily provoked. Any little twig snap and you're like, what did you say to me? No? triggered easily, easily provoked, easily angered, irritable,
defensive.
This is not the right tool. So what is the right tool? Assuming the good. Oh my gosh. Restrained. Patient. Oh yeah. Negative sentiment override. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So this is where, like, it's a 5-to-1 ratio of, like, 5 positive things to override that 1 negative thing. And that's not waiting for the person to do 5 positive things in order to override that 1 negative thing they did. That's you assessing 5 positive things about them. Huh? Yeah, yeah, Holy Spirit override. There you go. Yeah, none of this is possible without Holy Spirit, just by the way. Like, you're not going to be able to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and become this loving, right? This is going to have to be given to you and practiced. Yeah. So, if you find yourself being easily angered, that probably, so one of the antonyms for being easily provoked or easily angered is non-inflammatory. So, like, if you are a bucket of gasoline and somebody walks past you with a match, whoosh, right? You're carrying it around with you, whatever that thing is already. And it just takes a little nudge, right? Let's keep going. Can you see? 3 people again. There's a man at the top of the ladder here. He is being held in place by a man who has a 2x4 on his butt. that is a good friend. You know? He's like, I got you. And if that man loses his balance at all, you know what's going to happen? He's just going to push him in the direction that he's going. Yeah, this is the wrong tool. This is the wrong tool. So, keeping a record or a score of wrongs, this is the next one that we're at. Keeping a record, a count, a calculation, right? A running tally of the wrongs. Okay, so if you've ever gotten in a fight with somebody that you've known for a very long time, if you ever pull out something from last week or 2 weeks or a year ago, that's the keeping a record part. You're still holding that stuff against them because you're playing those cards against them, right? So what is the antithesis of that? What is the opposite of that?
Keeping a record of the good things.
Okay, also keeping a record of the good things. Forgiveness. Actual forgiveness. Letting it go. Right? That is the right tool. Forgiveness is the right tool in a relationship.
Hallelujah.
Not the keeping the record of the wrongs. All right, let's see. So here we've got technically 3. Oh, goodness. Okay, so there's a ladder at the bottom. And you can see now we have 3 men involved in the actual project, and then a 4th man recording it for posterity. So you've got the man on the top of the ladder, bending over, holding on to the frame, and then another man standing on top. How did they get in this position is what I want to know. Maybe he was like this and he walked out. I just have no idea. They did. They used to be cheerleaders in their heyday. They're like, we got this. I used to basket toss. This is no big deal. Yeah. Not the right method. This is not the right method. So rejoices over. So if you need to look at this from the previous page, this is the end of verse 6. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Man, What is it to rejoice in something? Celebrate it. How do you know if you're celebrating something? You get excited about it? You feel it? You enjoy it? You're like, join me in this? Rejoice over what's good and true, not what's evil, unrighteous, untrue. Man, you watch the news for like 5 minutes, and they're like, here are the things we're going to relish in. There are whole podcasts and series about murder and violence. Rejoice over, relish in, be glad in things that are true and good and righteous. Okay, so in the last picture, we had three gentlemen involved. In this one, they've created their own scaffolding, and there are five of them, plus the person taking the picture. It's just insane. It's just an accident waiting to happen. I know. I'm telling you what. I did not find a single picture of a woman doing any of this stuff. Maybe it's because we were smart enough to not record it. You know, we're like, don't tell them. Don't tell the others. She's the one filming it. She's like, I want to show him this later. I want to show the doctor at the ER. This is how it happened. Huh? They're already on stairs, the ones at the bottom. Oh, my goodness. The woman's got the camera. Okay, so you've got five people involved in the sky. Okay, now this is my favorite one. There are seven people involved in this picture. Seven grown adults with big kid brains in there. And they've decided the best way to get these water tanks or whatever they are up to that second story is to use one forklift to lift a smaller forklift. And if you'll see, there is someone. Is there somebody?
There's two people on the smaller forklift on either side of it. It's just
nonsensical. It's just obviously not the right way. You know, like there's just got to be a better way. This is not a good method for, I mean, just borrow the right tool, you know? Ask somebody else who has the right tool to get involved. That might be helpful. Yeah, we've got an engineer back here. That'll take time and cost money. You're right. So verse 7. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That's how I learned it. Here's another way of saying it. It keeps every confidence. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Another way. Puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end. This first one, always protects, it's the word for like to deck or to thatch something, like literally to protect it. Love is protective. And then here at the end, love will never fail. This does not fail. This is always the right tool. Love is always the right method, the very best method for any situation. Plug it in, right? It works. It may not happen. It may not elicit the response that you want in the moment, all right? It may not cause the situation to work out exactly the way you want or heal the relationship in the manner in which you want or cause them to think that you're really neat and love you back, right? But that's not why we do it. We do it because it is the best way. It is the best method. It is the best tool in relationship. And the good news is, this is how God loves you. This is modeled to us through our God. This is how you are loved by God. So one of the things that I noticed about the first three verses, I can do all these things, but if I do not, it doesn't say give love. It says, if I do not have love, then I become. We have to possess it first before we can be it and give it, right? If I don't have it, I cannot give it. And so this is where we started in the beginning of the series, is like, you need to understand that you are this loved, created child of God. That there is value and worth and merit in you simply because you are loved by God, not because you do these things on this list. Right? So this is not a shame you kind of sermon. This is not a behavioral modification kind of sermon. This is a, hey, if you begin to receive and understand God's love for you, and you meditate and dwell on that, then you are able to be that to other people.